it just remained with me throughout this week. And so thank you, youth, for the way you told stories of your faith journey, and for Eli, who just led what I think was just an incredible sermon of sharing God's word as it mingled with his own life, of the laughter and the fun we had through putting together, I don't know what it's called, a little drama. For all the adults who participated, who came up and had some fun with that story. And it was just, for me, this reminder of what it means to be community together, intergenerational, sharing God's love with one another. On May 29th and 30th, there is the Mennonite Relief Sale in New Hamburg, and the gathering loves to participate in that. It becomes a really busy weekend for us of popping popcorn and selling this popcorn that is loved by many. So Laura is leading up the organization for us to be there to prepare the popcorn. We need volunteers for Friday night and Saturday. And so, Laura, maybe you can stand up and let us see you, for those who don't know you. So if you're not familiar with what popcorn popping means or what the Mennonite Relief Sale is, please see Laura, and we hope to have many of us signing up to volunteer that weekend. I also invite us to save the date of June 14th, where we're going to Hidden Acres Camp at 3 o'clock for our afternoon worship that day. So save June 14th, where we'll want to join together. It's a time of having fun together as a congregation, of worshiping together, of celebrating baptism, of enjoying a meal together. It's a service that I hope that you will all attend. I want to also thank you for the many ways that you generously contribute to the life and the mission of the Gathering Church. Your financial offerings, the many, many ways you serve and support, allow us continue to do the good work of God in this community and beyond. And so thank you. I'm going to read a scripture. I'm going to be reading from portions of Psalm 107 as we begin our new series on called Telling the Stories. And I want you to listen in this psalm as the psalmist tells the story of how God has engaged with, how God has acted within this person's life. Portions of Psalm 107. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story. He led them by a straight way to a city where they could settle. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds. For he satisfies the hungry and he fills the For he satisfies the thirsty and he fills the hungry with good things. He sent out his word and healed them. He rescued them from the grave. Let's give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds. Let them sacrifice thank offerings and tell of his work with songs of joy. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he brought them out of their distress. He stilled the storm to a whisper. The waves of the sea were hushed. They were glad when it grew calm, and he guided them to their desired haven. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds. Let them exalt him in the assembly of the people and praise him in the council of the elders. Let the one who is wise heed these things and ponder the loving deeds of the Lord. Let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story. Let's pray together. God, we thank you that your story of our lives and the lives of all people continues to grow and to move. Thank you, God, that you are creative. Thank you that our lives are like a story. And may we, like the psalmist, tell our stories of your engagement in our lives to one another here and to those we engage with throughout our weeks. God, thank you that your story is alive and it is active. Thank you that your story teaches us, it renews us, it refreshes us, it guides us. Thank you that your story never grows old, that as we go to look at your story in Scripture, it becomes new to us in different seasons, in different times. And so as we enter into this new season, God, may you be our storyteller. May we listen in anew and afresh. May we be changed. May we be directed. May we be hopeful by your story and your stories. God, thank you that you journey with us. Thank you that you are the light unto our path. Thank you that you are the one that goes ahead of us and behind us and beside us. Thank you that your eyes are ever upon us. Thank you that we can bring to you the things that grieve our hearts, the things that we are sorry for, the things that we long for, and that you, God, listen. Thank you that you are a God who acts, that you are a God who loves, that you are a God full of compassion. May we hear your story in new and fresh ways. Amen. As part of this storytelling series, we're going to include a children's story each week, so the adults get to also gain from hearing the children's story. So kids, I'm going to invite you up, and Olivia is going to come and read you a story. How about we do it here?
So when I was asked to share a story, I immediately thought of the "Have you filled your bucket today?" story. Yeah. All day long, everyone in the whole wide world walks around carrying an invisible bucket.
8, 9 kids up here. Hi, Luke. I'm wondering, can we come up with 4 ways that you as kids of the Gathering Church can fill a bucket? Let's see if we can have 4 ways. What could we do? What could you do? Yes, Benjamin. Do you want to try the microphone?
Smile to people.
You can smile at some people. There's lots of people here who would love a smile. There's one. Can we get another one? How else can we fill a bucket? Benjamin's going to fill our whole bucket. I love it. Ooh, sorry.
Wave to someone.
Yeah, we can wave to someone. I don't know that we're friendly. Lena, can you think of a way? How else could we do it? What do you think, guys? So, yeah, Lena.
Ask someone if they want to play.
Oh, I love that one. Ask someone if they want to play. We have 3. Can we get one more way to fill a bucket? I know you do it. How could you fill a bucket at home today? What could you do at home today? Any ideas? Yes.
Help out.
Help out. We came up with 4 great ways to fill buckets. Let's pray together. God, thank you that you are loving and you are generous and that you fill our buckets all the time. Thank you for the reminder this morning that you invite us to show your love and your peace to others around us. And so help each of us, children especially this week, to fill other people's buckets and to know that this makes you glad. In your name we pray. Amen. Okay, thanks for coming up. And you guys can head back with Olivia and Abigail and Kate and Katie to Kids Zone. Have a good morning. May be seated. Let's pray again. God, we thank you again for your presence here this morning. Thank you that through words of song, we have told your story. Thank you that you continue to write our stories. And thank you that your word, O God, is full of stories that draw us in, that show us the way, that are our guides, that lead us to you. May we be listeners of your story this morning. Amen. There is an old hymn whose words are these: "Tell me the stories of Jesus I love to hear, things I would ask him to tell me if he were here, scenes by the wayside, tales of the sea, stories of Jesus, tell them to me." Jesus was a master storyteller. Large crowds were drawn to him as he weaved stories of God, of God's character, of God's way, and of God's desire. The stories that Jesus told hold unforgettable images. Jesus seeking the lost sheep, the persistent widow seeking justice, a concerned and grieving father running to his lost son, throwing his arms around him in welcome. Jesus' words are rich. They are a balance of the simple and the profound. In Jesus' stories, we find vivid comparisons of the world of nature, living water, vines and branches, roots, seeds, and harvest. Jesus filled his stories with figures, events, and items familiar to the people, images from farming, of seeds falling among the weeds, of wolves entering sheep pens, characters that people would identify with as part of their community, of tax collectors and widows. And Jesus used words to create scenes that listeners were familiar with. A knock on the door in the middle of the night, an unkind boss, a city on the hill bearing light. In Scripture, we read that people gathered in great crowds when Jesus told stories as a way of teaching them about the ways of God. We read of a large crowd, 5,000 in number, gathering near Bethsaida, which is described as a remote, grassy, and deserted place on the northeastern shore of the Sea of Galilee. We can picture them gathered there, listening in. Jesus often sat in a boat on the Sea of Galilee to tell stories to the crowds gathered on the shore. He told stories from the shoreline, from hillsides, and while walking through the grain fields. As a storyteller, Jesus knew how to draw people in, catching their attention, inviting them to use their creative imagination to draw them deeper and deeper into the story. He began his stories like this. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? Or if any of you has a sheep and it falls into the pit on the Sabbath, will you not take hold of it and lift it out? And there was a man who had two sons. And then he tells a story. One writer that I read this week noted this way, that stories are God's ideas. God is the one who created the story, the form of the story, and us as story-shaped creatures. He has chosen story as a primary way to present himself to his creation. The Bible does not simply contain stories, it reflects God's choice of the form of the story as the primary means by which to tell us about himself and how to be in right relationship with him. It is also the form God has chosen to preserve that knowledge over many, many generations. This morning, we are beginning a new series called Telling the Stories. We'll be telling some of the stories that are found in Scripture, and we'll be hearing some of the stories written by storytellers among us. And the hope is that biblical stories will come to life. For those of us who are long familiar with the stories, my hope is that new meanings and new lessons will be given to us. And for those of whom the stories are new, I hope that they come to life and add to your understanding of God's story to us, which each one is a very important part. In Psalm 102, the psalmist finds God during a time of desolation, and he writes, "Let this be written for future generation, that a people not yet created may praise the Lord." I love that. Let this be written for a future generation, that a people not yet created may praise the Lord. These are the stories we write and we tell. The writing and the sharing of story is a way of honoring God, of building up our faith, and again, of passing it on to the next generation so they too can see the activity of God. Joel 1 emphasizes this. He says, tell it to your children, and let your children tell it to their children, and their children to the next generation. We are the ones to pass on the stories of God, which have been passed on to us through Scripture and through others. And so, over the next few weeks, we will be telling the stories of Jesus. We will be telling other stories found in Scripture. We'll be using the biblical narrative. We'll be using psalms, poetry, and personal stories of God's engagement with us. We'll join with the curious disciples found in Matthew 13 that came to Jesus and asked, why do you use stories to speak to people? Amongst our storytellers, I'm going to invite one of them forward this morning to share what storytelling means to her. So I'm going to welcome Susanna with deep gratitude. I'm going to ask Susanna a question, and then she's going to weave some of her work into a time of guiding us this morning into the ways of God. And so, Susanna, what does it mean for you to be a storyteller today? Come on over here.
I think storytelling today takes a lot of different shapes. It's not always about telling something that is linear, beginning, middle, and end. How we experience God in our lives isn't always linear either. I think being a storyteller here and now is about connecting with our humanness, finding ways to express universal experiences like pain and struggle, heartbreak and joy and hope in ways that resonate. And I think telling those kinds of stories always ends up pointing to God. My faith is quite intertwined with storytelling. For me, stories like the Chronicles of Narnia are foundational to my faith. Knowing that who God is can be presented in such a fictionalized way helps me trust that the stories I tell can keep pointing people to God. I also find it's not an easy profession to be in right now, and I have a lot of doubt in myself and in my skills. I think God has had to give me so many signs and gestures that confirm to me that I am where I need to be and that He's calling me here. Each time He reminds me of that, I'm able to step into what He's calling me to do in that moment. I know that my ability to write is a gift from God, but it's something that I've been building and growing, and it's hard work. I'm learning to step into the space of calling myself a writer with more confidence.
So this morning, I'm really thankful for Susanna, always. I love her writing. I say whenever I listen to her or read her work, I often cry in a good way. A hope-filled way. And so I'm thankful, Susanna, that you're going to take us through one of your works and guide us in such a way that we'll find our place before God in wonder as well. Thanks for sharing this morning.
So I'm going to ask you guys a Sunday school question. In the beginning, what is the first thing that we are shown that God did? In the beginning, God created. Yes. God created. We serve a creative God. And this gets me really excited. I love this. In this series, we're talking about storytelling, which is a creativity. But I think we need a very broad definition of what storytelling is. Like I said, it's not just a beginning, middle, and end tale. Storytelling is expressing ideas. It's about poetry and art, as well as fiction and novels. It's how we explain the Bible to ourselves and to our children as well, among many, many other things. I'm a writer. I knew I wanted to be a writer in about grade 3. For those of you who don't know me, I write fiction, I write poetry, creative nonfiction. I'm also a reporter and editorial assistant for the Canadian Mennonite, which is our church's denominational periodical magazine. You can see it at the back corner. We serve a creative God. We are created in God's creative image. Whether or not we see ourselves as creative, I think that desire, whether it is to enjoy or consume creativity, like listening to stories, looking at art, reading books, watching interesting cinematography, or to do the creating ourselves, I think that desire in ourselves touches on a piece of who God is. I write for many reasons. Sometimes it's to educate or inform. Sometimes it's to express. Sometimes it's to explore different ideas. When I write, I find this relentless hope within what I write. It's not always intentional, but it's utterly persistent. With my first novel, I made a rough outline, and it was going to be a tragedy. Basically, everyone was going to die. And then I dug deeper into what I was writing, and I developed the characters, and I wrote the story. And there's deep hurt and tragedy in the story, but it lands on hope. Not a happily ever after, but it's not all darkness. The same thing happened with my second book, the one I'm trying to publish right now. It explores deep hurt and pain, and I had planned on ending there. And then when I wrote to the ending, I could not resist bringing that beginning spark of what could build into hope. Poetry, for me, is almost exclusively about working through a specific moment or feeling. I write to open up my own understanding of that feeling and also to invite God's spark into what is hard. Writing what is challenging gives me new perspectives, always. That relentless hope shows up there too. And again, it's not always intentional. I find God alive and working in my writing. I read this poem on Easter, and I'm going to read it again. And then I'm going to walk you through some of the meaning and development of this poem. This is called If It Were Spring. I have become obsessed with green, with leaf and stem, with sprout and faint bud. Give me columbine and lupin alongside wild strawberries. God, all that is green is hope. And in this parched wasteland, I think I see sprouts everywhere. Mirages fade as I kick over rocks and spread the air with dust. Wasn't there something here? Today, the wind blew strong with faint drops. One splattered my face, and in it was a world of heart-shaped greenery, a canopy of maple leaves, rain-washed bark, and trees stretching and drinking deep. I ran into the wind, gulping gusts and breathing in purple phlox blossoms, arms outstretched to spits of rain, fingers reaching in prayer for a downpour. God, just a sprout. A lonely stem of mountain mint, a sign this ground still breathes, still wants to give life and grow. Wasn't there something here? Even so, rain, life-giving, cuts channels, rips holes, caves in mountainsides, and reveals our poorest character. Ravaging of resources to naked land, a torrent of stripped soil, of land doused in tailings, the disposable, misshapen. In sidewalk cracks and fractured curbsides and the seam where street and building meet. Small sprout unnoticed, yellow puff of buttercup, persistent aster, earth bursting through our manufactured limits. Isn't there something here? This poem is about feeling withdrawn from God, wondering where he is, and sitting in the waiting, knowing he will reveal himself sometime. I have always felt God in the rain. I grew up on a vegetable farm, and that really grew an awareness of the impact of rain in me. I wrote this poem thinking about dry summers and how we desperately needed and prayed for rain. When it came, it was exceptionally beautiful. But rain isn't consistent, and it's not always gentle. And while God is constant, feeling him or seeing him at work is not consistent. And in truth, his work is not always gentle. I have become obsessed with green, with leaf and stem, with sprout and faint bud. These are signs of new life, of growth. We want those signs. The list of plants are native species of our geography. They help build up our ecosystem in our area. I remind God that I see him in the greenness of plants and signs of growth. And in this parched wasteland, I think I see sprouts everywhere. Mirages fade as I kick over rocks and spread the air with dust. Wasn't there something here? Drought is hard. From a farmer or gardener perspective, it can be detrimental. It's stressful and very unknown. I think we've all felt that way in our lives sometimes. This poem weaves together the idea of physical drought with a spiritual sense of drought, longing for the presence of God, waiting to grow, to see some evidence of God at work. The middle of the poem is like a dream of that presence. Today the wind blew strong with faint drops. I ran into the wind, gulping gusts and breathing in purple phlox blossoms, arms outstretched to spits of rain, fingers reaching in prayer for a downpour. It's important that drought doesn't mean death or end. There is longing, there is need, perhaps even desperation. These are active and alive parts of faith and of gardening. It doesn't end with that need. God, just a sprout, is a call for a tiny reminder. Not a fulfilled need, but something to hold on to in the waiting. Even so, rain, life-giving, cuts channels, rips holes, caves in mountainsides, and reveals our poorest character, the disposable, misshapen. Rain is complicated. It doesn't show up on time. Sometimes it comes way too hard or way too much. Similarly, God doesn't always answer our prayers or our calls in ways we expect or like. I don't mean to depict a vengeful or wrathful God in this section. I use this language because though I see rain as the presence of God, many people have experienced terrible flooding and destruction, and those are relevant images of rain too. To me, those images bring us back to our need to care for this earth that our God created and to care for one another more deeply. I also think that the movement of God at work can reveal hard things. When we follow where God is calling us, it can mean placing ourselves in challenging situations. In sidewalk cracks and fractures, curbsides, and the seam where street and building meet, small sprout unnoticed, yellow puff of buttercup, persistent aster, earth bursting through our manufactured limits. Isn't there something here? That growth and presence of God that has been longed for usually comes in unexpected ways. While asking for maple forests and purple phlox flowers, sometimes we are given street-side weeds. But those little plants are a special kind of persistent, and maybe could be just as precious in this season of searching for God. I hope when people hear or read my work that somewhere they might feel a small spark of that relentless hope, the same hope that keeps pointing me back to God, and the same hope that keeps me writing. Thank you.
Thank you, Susanna. I believe that stories take time to soak into us. There are lines that might grab our attention, or characters that we learn from, or images that create a new understanding. And so we're going to pause just for a moment, and we're going to invite the Holy Spirit to settle an image into us, a thought, a word, an image into our hearts and our minds, so that we might meditate on it and let it grow roots into God's great story within us. So think back to words that Susanna said, to drought, to rain coming, to sprouts in the field or sprouts in a crack. And invite the Holy Spirit to plant something in you this morning. God, wherever we are at in our lives, you are there. You are there in times that feel like sidewalk cracks and fractured curbsides. You are there in the life-giving rain. You are there in the newness of spring. You are there when things go from brown earth to green new life. So thank you, God, that wherever we are, whatever season we find ourselves in, you are there. And in your mercy, God, would you rain down upon us? Would you refresh us and encourage us? Would you fill us with your life-giving water? Amen. If you would like prayer this morning, I invite you to come forward afterwards. I will be here. Also invite us to stay for a time of conversation and refreshment. And I leave us with this benediction, this blessing over your week. May God, who made the mountains, keep you steady. May Christ, who walked the valleys, walk beside you. May the Spirit, who sends the rain, pour on you the living water of Christ. Go in God's peace this week. Amen.